Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This little devotional is titled, Be a Good Human. Be a Good Human has become a popular slogan and bumper sticker out in the world. But what does it really mean? For the world, being a good person consistently means being nice without biblical convictions. It means not being judgmental in terms of moral issues. It means being broad-minded and open to all sorts of truth possibilities. They kind of ridicule Christians. Don't be so narrow-minded. Even though Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life. Being good according to the world standard emphasizes community standards, whatever those might be. You know, they remind us often, we're all in this together. For the world, being good means staying clear of major sins like racism, sexism, and being homophobic. Being good often means being a social activist who loves nature, of course. Good people are passionate about the climate, thus showing how much they really care. Good people love the earth. The book of Revelation calls them earth dwellers. Good people don't litter. They give to good causes and promote human welfare. Good people may have a little religion, but they're careful to keep it to themselves. That's very commendable, according to the world. And on and on. But do these qualities really make a person a good human? As the old saying goes, he who defines the terms wins the argument. The way God defines good and the way the world defines good are two entirely different things. A pagan dies and the mourning loved ones comfort themselves by saying, he was such a good person. Really? What makes you think so? I once had a funeral for a person whom I'd never met. The family just wanted a cheap service, and they said they were okay with me sharing the gospel, not realizing what they were getting into, of course. During the sharing time, old friends brought out how the deceased had lived a wild and profligate life. And they were all laughing in the fondness of these memories. I then got up and said, I never knew this man, but my message really was for the living. I never said anything about the dead person or his destiny. Rather, I emphasized it was in God's hands. I then preached the need for repentance and saving faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Afterwards, a friend of the deceased man said to me in a very firm and threatening voice, this man was a good man. I simply smiled and said, I never knew him. But in truth, I had heard enough to know otherwise. God says we are not good. God says there is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. And again, there is none who does good, no, not one, Romans 3:12. Isaiah the prophet said, all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. Rags in this reference is really a technical term referring to the rags of a woman's menstrual cycle. Pretty graphic, I know. But the point is that before God, absolutely all the right things we do are still like putrid rags before the all-holy God. When it comes to good, God himself is the standard. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The standard of goodness is the very glory of God. We all come short, far short. God himself defines good. Goodness is the very nature of God. Jesus made this the issue when the rich young ruler came to him. This young man said to Jesus, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Matthew 19:16. Jesus picked up on this word good, saying, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Matthew 19:17. In effect, Jesus was saying, do you realize that in calling me good, you are really referring to me as God? Thus, Jesus started with the ultimate good standard, which is God, which is Christ. The issue is, how does one measure up to this standard? And the answer is, we don't. Since we have no merit of goodness within ourselves, we need grace. This is the gospel. It is a gospel of grace. Grace refers to God's unmerited favor that we neither earn nor deserve. 2 Corinthians 5:21 really is a summary verse on the gospel, which says, "For he made him," that's Jesus, "he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Wow. Think of it. We can be as righteous as God. How? In Christ. This verse spells out the gospel. Christ became sin for us. He died as our substitute, paying our sin penalty in full. Thus, he became sin for us. And he did this to the end that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a grace reality. Christ got all our sin, and we get all his righteousness. That's a grace exchange. It's pure grace. We have no goodness of our own. If we are good, it is only because of imputed righteousness. That is, it is put to our account by grace. And the way we enter into this state of goodness is by faith. Paul writes, quote, "Not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Philippians 3:9. We have no righteousness of our own. Zero, zip, zilch, nada. If we have any righteousness, we have it imputed, that is put to our account on the basis of faith in Christ. As believers, we have the righteousness which is from God by faith. This is the only way to attain righteousness. This is the only way we can have goodness that will stand before God. It's all of grace. Mankind flatters himself that he can be a good human, but it's all a mirage. Before God, there is none good in and of themselves. Goodness is found only in Jesus, who is all our righteousness. Isaiah 55:7 through 9 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we know the truth of who you are from the scriptures, and we find that your very character is good. Lord, you are the standard of ultimate holiness and goodness. And Lord, we all come short. We are not good in your presence. We are defiled through and through by sin, what we call depravity. But Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace that Jesus comes to our rescue as our Savior. He became our sin. He took our sin. He paid our sin. He became sin for us, that we in turn might have your righteousness. We might have the righteousness of God in Christ. It's only in Christ that we have this goodness, this righteousness. And so we want to say thank you. That's all we can do, is believe on Jesus and then say thank you for all that we have in him. Lord, we rejoice in your amazing grace today. Help us to be a good testimony for you, whatever context we have out here. Pray that our light would shine brightly as those who are redeemed, who've been changed, who have now the righteousness of God as a matter of your grace. We thank you for it, and I pray in Christ's name. Amen.